Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord that you are able to join me today as we continue on a message I've entitled, Thy Kingdom Come. And we are looking at spiritual principles that were established under the Old Covenant that we can find truth and application for our lives today, how the Lord desires to cause His kingdom be established in our hearts and on this earth. We know, as we looked at the passages under the Old Covenant, there were some references in Exodus and in Deuteronomy that the Lord said He would drive out the inhabitants little by little. So the kingdom is established by degrees. And we see that God has a plan and purpose under the Old Covenant. He said so it would give Israel a chance to multiply naturally, to increase in numbers, and so that the wild beasts wouldn't overtake them as they drove out all the Canaanites from their land. And it is the same for us today. It is a process. God is, first of all, establishing the kingdom of God in the hearts of His people. And as we go developing in our Christian faith, and as we walk and obey the Lord and be a godly example, we are an influence and basically, if you will, bring the kingdom wherever we go. Excuse me. The real establishing of the full kingdom of God will not occur. We're not going to be able to do it, beloved. It's when Jesus returns, we will see that the kingdoms of this world will truly become the kingdom of our God. He will rule and reign from Jerusalem, and the literal kingdom of God will be established on the earth. It is a process, but what I'm wanting you to join with me in understanding and seeing is that that's true in our individual lives, that as we see from the reign of David, that there was a process when God finally fulfilled His word and He became king. He ruled at Hebron for 7 years over Judah, and then there was the principle of unity. There had been factions and war between the house of Saul and the house of David. And when the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron, they desired him to be king over all Israel. And since they were then in unity, he agreed to do that. And then, so unity was a very important principle in taking the kingdom, all right? And then, and we need to pray that we would become one. Remember Jesus' prayer in John, the 17th chapter, that they would be one, even Father, as we are one? That was one of the most beautiful and touching prayers that Jesus prayed before He went to the cross, praying for the numerous generations that would follow the disciples, that we really truly could be one. And then what did David do? Well, his next plan was to go to establish the throne at Jerusalem, the city of the great king. And that's exactly what God desires, that He would reign as king on the throne of our hearts. And on yesterday's broadcast and preceding, we were laying a foundation. And perhaps I should just mention, if at any point you miss a broadcast or you want to rehear, please feel free just to go to unveilchrist.org and you can click on broadcasts and you can hear them anytime at your convenience. But what David did was to oust the Jebusites, who, if you were a type of satanic stronghold. They weren't really causing a lot of trouble with Israel. They were at peace. They weren't hostile, except they were where they were living, where the king needed to reside. And even though they had About 500 years earlier, Joshua had destroyed their king and routed out some of them. Still, they held on for another 300 years, and it wasn't until the time of David that they were finally removed. And so we see that in order for God's kingdom to be established, it has to be firmly established in the hearts of individuals. We're talking about unity, but beloved, you know what? There's not going to be unity unless God does his work, and we as believers allow him to do that work in our individual hearts. You know, I was fond of saying years ago when we were very active, Brother Glass and I in our minister's fellowship, one of the common sayings was, well, we can agree to disagree. Well, that sounds very noble and very compromising and not threatening, but as I said, I tend to be somewhat simplistic, and if we are all supposed to have the mind of Christ, well, the mind of Christ is not schizophrenic, he's not double-minded, and I believe as we really truly grow in the admonition of the Lord, as we are conformed to his image, beloved, we're going to be thinking the same way. Of course, there are individual differences in our personality, there won't be differences when it comes to important spiritual principles. Do you hear what I'm saying? I truly have believed this for decades. When God's people will grow up, there will be a unity that comes from being identified with Christ, having the virtues, the fruit of his spirit evident and blossoming and bearing fruit in our lives. We will be patient. We will be long-suffering. We will fulfill what the scriptures tell us to be. And when that comes, beloved, there will be that anointing, such as that anointing that came down upon the head of Aaron, that went down to the skirts of his garment. There was an anointing that was upon that people of Israel when they were in one accord and serving the Lord. So it will be true for us today, beloved. If we will hearken to the word of the Lord, if we will lay hold of these principles that I am sharing, we will see that the first thing is to submit to the king and to allow the Jebusites in our lives. That word Jebusite, Jabez means trodden down, and he was the third son of Canaan. And any inhabitant other than the Lord God will trample underfoot the original divine purpose of the sacred city or our temple. The devil wants to tread us under, but beloved, we're supposed to do that to him. And so there's the principle of unity. There's a principle of ousting the strongholds of the enemy, the Jebusites, if you will. And then what can we see? Well, we want to talk about the restoration of the ark. We see that's recorded in 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter. And listen how verse 1 begins. Again, David gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. David arose, went with all the people that were with him from Baalah of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. And it says they set an ark of God upon a new cart, and they brought it out of the house of Abinadab. So what was David's desire? He wanted to restore worship. He wanted to place God at the very center of the kingdom. And of course, I'm not going to take the time to read that chapter, but we know that they weren't doing it God's way. They meant well. Sometimes we might have good intentions, but unless it's done God's way, it's not going to work. It's not going to be satisfactory. We see the ark was on a cart. The oxen simply stumbled, and Uzzah reached out his hand to steady the ark, and we know that he was struck dead. Verse 7, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and he died by the ark of God. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perazuzah to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? And so what he did, it was removed and carried aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, and continued there 3 months. So what were the lessons that were learned? The same lessons, beloved, that we have to learn. As I said, the whole point of my sharing this week is that we can see principles, spiritual principles that were operating with Israel under the old covenant. They're just as valid. They're just as real for today. We have to have, first of all, a knowledge of God's word. What did they do in those 3 months' time? Well, they went back to the scriptures and they found out, no, that ark was not to be on a cart. It was to be carried upon the shoulders of the priests. The importance of obedience and the fear of the Lord. When we hold those principles, those truths sacred, we will see worship being restored. And then let's move on to another important principle. We're talking about possessing the kingdom. Then, beloved, after that individual work is done, we remove the Jebusites, we see the knowledge of God's word restored to us individually and corporately as the body of Christ, that as individuals and corporately we walk in obedience and the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord has been absent from the church in this day. God is restoring it. We have been much too complacent. We have been much too, you know, God's our great big buddy in the sky. No, he's not. He's an awesome, fearful God. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. He's a God of compassion and love, but we must reverence him for who he is. And then there is the principle of spiritual warfare, which is a way that we can see the kingdom of God established in this hour. And how do we do that? Well, we to have the full armor of God, and that's where prayer and intercession comes in, because God has given us a commission. He has said that we are to preach the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. We are to extend the kingdom, if you will. We will not bring the kingdom of God here. Only Jesus the King will do that when he comes. But we have a warfare before us. We are to take our promised land. And so, beloved, this is an exciting hour in which to be alive. And I'm hoping you can see that how God dealt with Israel under the old covenant, he's dealing with us today. And if we will follow his word and his plan and his strategy, we will have success. Praise God. Well, beloved, I must bring this broadcast to a close. My time is drawing to a point where I must say goodbye for today. I invite you to tune in tomorrow at the same time. We're on this station Monday through Friday. And if you have prayer needs, I invite you to contact me through email or by a letter or note, and I'll send back to you whatever the Lord gives to encourage your heart. I love you. Thank you for joining me. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606. Or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh.